Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this special service. I'm calling from the office in Vasti Lakes. We've got a few people here who are also logged in. And as I see at the moment, there's already 267 screens, and we're expecting more in a little while. So welcome to you all to the special Pentecost service from around the country and from overseas, whoever is visiting. From overseas, welcome. Earlier this year, the Reconciliation Council of Australia has Reconciliation Week, National Reconciliation Week, for the especially reconciliation between the Aboriginal community and the rest of Australia. And on the 21st of January, they put out the theme for this year, and the theme is In This Together. And this is actually National Reconciliation Week, ties in with Pentecost, In This Together. And little would they have known on 21st of January that we would really be all in this together in a very unique way, the whole world together, whole of humanity together, and indeed all of us today on Zoom together. So Pentecost certainly pictures a day of reconciliation. It pictures a day in which we're all in this together. And I was thinking about that phrase, all in this together. And really, it is God also saying to us in Christ, we're all in this together. And we're all in Him together. And that's the beauty of God with us in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, and God in us through the person of the Holy Spirit. So welcome, everyone. Welcome to this special service, unique one. Whether we'll have another one like this again, we don't know in a hurry, a nationwide service like this. I would like to read from the RCL theme for this week. The theme is the Spirit at work. Pentecost is a story of the giving of the Spirit and the birth of the church when the confusion of the Tower of Babel is healed. So wonderful theme and wonderful scriptures that will be covered by our speakers in a little while. At this time, I would like to Apollina for the scripture reading.
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Second, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Third, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Four, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Five, now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Six, when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Thank you very much, Apollina. Apollina is from the Goodna Church, and she's been here for a while, and normally she can also speak in Swahili. So, well, on the day of Pentecost, of course, the first preacher was Peter. And when we read the gospel, the written account, the first gospel is from Matthew. So today, we're going to hear from Peter in Perth, and then after that, we're going to hear from Matthew in Melbourne. So over to Peter and Matthew.
Thank you, Bharat. I'd like to begin by saying good morning. For those who are a bit further east, good afternoon. Bonjour, jambo, and for all Australians, good day. Just in case I don't get to see you again today, I'll say good afternoon, good evening, and also good night. We live in a world that is full of stories. And every day we get bombarded by all these stories about different things. But I would argue that some of the best stories in the world are right in this book right here, the Bible. And one of the most amazing, wonderful, encouraging, interesting, and enlightening stories is the story of the day of Pentecost, which is today. We'll share a few verses from that story, and then we'll talk a bit about the story of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place, kind of like we are today. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from everywhere and every nation living in Jerusalem. This is an amazing story that we read here. It's a story about a very special time of year, a story about a feast time, a harvest time, a ceremonial day, religious festivals. It's a story about people, regular, everyday people, just like you and I. People who had families, they had brothers, they had sisters, moms and dads, and they lived in very challenging times, kind of like we do today. It's a story about people from different cultures, different countries, different villages, towns, and cities, about Jews and Gentiles, about people who loved God, people who loved Jesus Christ, and people who were Christians, people who met together to fellowship and to worship, just as we are doing today. It's a story about wind and fire, about the natural and the supernatural, and encompasses different personalities, languages, cultures, and nationalities. And just like this story, we live in a world that bombards us constantly with various stories every single day. We hear stories about defeat, stories about fear, stories about anxiety and loneliness, and stories about despair. We hear stories about having an angry God who just can't wait to come down on you when you make a mistake. And we have stories about the wrath of God. There's stories about our inadequacies, what we do wrong, what we don't do right, and stories about how you are not good enough. We hear every day stories of hopelessness. But the real story, however, is that the Lord is my strength and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The real story is that God is with me, so who can be against me? The real story is that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The real story is that even when we are faithless, God is faithful. He never leaves us and never forsakes us. In fact, the real story is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. The real story is that eternal life means knowing God and knowing his Son, Jesus, whom he sent to die for us. The real story is that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. I'll just share with you verse 21 of Acts chapter 2. It says, but everyone who calls on the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the Lord. Not everyone who is perfect, who is a good boy or a good girl, or who does it right every time or doesn't make mistakes. Everyone who calls on the Lord will be saved. The real story is that being confident of the fact that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ's return. The real story, brethren, is that God is good, that Jesus Christ died for you and for me, that with God everything is possible, and that we're set apart before God to do good to other people and for the glory of God. The real story about Pentecost, brethren, is that our triune God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ live in us, and they are the hope of glory. Have a wonderful Pentecost day. God bless you all. And I'll pass over to Matt Goodsey for the next section.
Good morning, everyone. And thank you very much, Peter. Just wonderful to see all your faces and across the nation and across the world as well. I'd like to look at another passage today that we look at on this day of Pentecost. But firstly, a little story from home. As a parent with young kids, it's been a roller coaster ride over the last 8 weeks. Our five-year-old son this week went back to school. We've had school out for the last 8 weeks with the restrictions. And one good thing that's come out of it is that as our five-year-olds has been learning from home, we've been learning a lot about space and planets and all things space exploration. Mostly due to my wife, Sandra, who's been doing a lot of learning with our five-year-old. And I was with our five-year-old on the trampoline this week, and we bought both of them, actually, one of these globes, these world globes. And we were jumping on the trampoline, and he asked the question, if my uncle is up here in London and we're down here in Australia, why don't we fall off? And I thought it was quite a good question to ask. And I said something about mass and gravity, which went over his head. But it made me think about a deeper reality, and that is that God is holding us all together. And this is what the poet in Psalm 104 is trying to capture, this reality that the earth and all in it is held together by God, this sense that there's this order in creation. I won't go through all the Psalms, quite long. I implore you to read it later on. But it talks about God who stretches out the heavens like a tent. He makes the clouds his chariot. He feeds the beasts of the field. He gives nests to the birds of the air. And in Psalms 104, verses 14 to 15, it says, he makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens the human hearts, oil to make their faces shine, and bread that sustains their hearts. It's quite a beautiful psalm. But there's also a deeper meaning to it as well. Yes, there's a meaning that God has sense in order in all that he's made, but there's a deeper meaning in this psalm as well, in that it's trying to get across the purpose in life. There is purpose and meaning, all of which is grounded in God. It says in Psalm 104, verse 24, O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Then in verse 27, these all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give to them, they gather it up. When you open their hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. And when you take away their breath, they die and return to dust. And then this verse 30, which connects us to the day of Pentecost, when you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. What we get from this psalm is we get a sense that God hasn't wound up creation like a clockmaker and then gone away on vacation somewhere. He's always present. He's always sustaining it through his spirit. Yes, there are turmoils in this, in God's presence, but everything and everyone finds its presence and dependence on God through the spirit. And so it's just a lovely psalm to look at. So what does it mean on the day of Pentecost? Well, it's the exact same question that they asked on this day. Acts 2, verse 12 says, All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? And I think we also ask the same question. With the fire hovering above the disciples' heads, what does this mean? I think Psalm 104 answers a question for us. And there are two claims which we can look at in relevant to Pentecost, because the very same Spirit that renews the face of the earth in Psalms 104 is also the Spirit that is given to the church. First of all, the poet in Psalms 104 delights in the diversity of life and God's breath and well-being for it. What this says is that the church is not given the Spirit to look after a select few. We're given the Spirit for the benefit of the whole, for the whole cosmos, for all people and all things. And this is a powerful claim to embrace, particularly with the political differences, the national differences, ethnic differences around the world, that the Spirit, there are things that threaten to drive us apart, but the Spirit's work is to bring us together. Secondly, this Psalms 104 says that the physical and the material is good. The Spirit gives life to all that is dust. Verse 30 says, the Spirit renews the face of the ground. And we come together today to celebrate the gift of the Spirit. And the Spirit drives us not towards being so spiritual that we're of no earthly good, but that we are daily reminded of the goodness and graciousness of God giving us on a daily basis what we need, and we become part of something much bigger than we are of ourselves. So in conclusion, may God continue to bless us with his presence through his Spirit.
Well, thank you, Peter from Perth, and thank you, Matthew from Melbourne. And it's great to know that we can we may fall off from Zoom from time to time, but that we won't fall off the earth, and that we're all held together as one body in Christ and as one humanity and as one beautiful creation. We thank God for all his goodness. At this time, we'll be hearing from Helen in Sydney and from Daphne from the National Office. So over to Helen and Daphne.
Well, greetings to you all from Sydney on this very special commemoration. The first time that Jesus made a public announcement about the coming of the Holy Spirit, he stunned people. He chose his moment perfectly. John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39, tell us that it was on the last great day of the Feast of Tabernacles during the water ceremony. Now, this ceremony was an elaborate daily ritual, which was a highlight of the feast. Each night, a priest would go down to the pool of Siloam and fill a pitcher with water from the pool. This wasn't stagnant water, it was fresh, life-giving water. The next day, with great ceremony, this water was poured from a golden bowl onto the altar in the temple, and from there it would flow down the temple steps. This was symbolic of the cleansing and refreshing that the Messiah would bring to Israel. And this was the most joyous moment each day of the festival. The Levites would bring out all their instruments, their harps and their trumpets and their cymbals and their lyres. They'd be dancing and singing as well. And there was a great hubbub of shouting and singing and celebration. How Jesus could be heard in all of that, I'm not sure, but he chose his moment for maximum impact. He stood, and in a very loud voice, he announced, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, streams of living water will flow from within him." Now, in effect, he was saying, "I'm the reality that the water in this ceremony symbolizes. If you believe in me, because I'm the true life giver, and I will be the one that gives you the Holy Spirit, not like the trickling amount that you see running down the temple steps, but as a powerful, flowing river which never runs dry." Now, what on earth did the people imagine he meant? And what does this mean for us today? In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus virtually repeated this announcement, although he's worded it quite differently. And he's talking to his disciples. And here is where we see clearly what our response to this announcement should be. Just before his ascension, he told the disciples that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they would be his witnesses in all the world. So Jesus is describing the Spirit as powerful. And this was the Spirit who brooded over the waters of chaos and brought the creation to birth. The Spirit who later indwelt Jesus and sustained him through his crucifixion and then resurrected him. This is the Spirit of power. Now, Old Testament prophets such as Joel had prophesied that God would pour out his Spirit on all people in the future. He would pour out the Spirit, not just one pitcherful at a time, but more of a waterfall effect, rushing, flowing, abundant, never failing, and certainly not stagnant. Today, we present-day disciples have been given the Spirit to indwell in us. We who are very lovingly and carefully made in God's image. But that image is damaged. It's become tarnished. The Apostle Paul refers to us as jars of clay, cracked vessels full of glory, made in the image of God, but needing to be renewed. And this renewal, this learning how to be fully and truly human, can only take place when we are indwelt and led by the all-surpassing power of the Holy Spirit. We can't renew ourselves. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3, we read, God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything we need to be a Christian. Everything needed to reflect God's image into the world. The Spirit provides us with all the resources that are made available to Jesus as we respond to him. We are completely and perfectly equipped to be Jesus' witnesses in the world. Paul writes to the Ephesian church, chapter 3, beginning verse 16. He prays for them. He says, I pray that out of God's glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. The Spirit unlocks for us our understanding of the depths of God's love. And of course, love is central to the whole story because love is the life of the Father, Son, and Spirit. And we participate in that divine nature, sharing in the life and the love of our triune God. As the Spirit indwells us, we are enabled to participate in his work, to make disciples of others as we share that divine love with our family and friends, our neighbors, our communities, and beyond. This is the overflowing effect that Jesus was announcing on the steps of the temple. And when we look at our news headlines these days, this is something that is desperately needed in society today. The divine fellowship, that intimacy with the Father and Son through the Spirit, is such a rich blessing that we overflow with love and hope as we await the eventual transformation of all humanity and the whole creation. What a gift that is. What a privilege to know. I'd like to finish by reading Paul's words to the Corinthian church. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Hey, a very warm hello to you all. Bill and I give you our greetings, and it's very wonderful to see your joyful, smiling faces. And we love the children's artwork and music and all the presentations. So today my scripture reading is John 20, verses 19 to 23. And with this being a national gathering today, I'd like to give you just a short church update, but it's kind of woven into those verses because I realised how applicable they are to our vision of healthy church. So we'll have a look first at John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. If you'd like to have a little break or get a cuppa, you've been sitting a while now, you're welcome. I'll just read this out. John 20, 19 to 22. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So going back now to verse 19, when the disciples were together, the doors were locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. And today we've found ourselves having to lock down as well and close doors due to fear of coronavirus. And many are living with fear and worry. They have losses of jobs or health or loved ones. But here we see that a locked door was no barrier for the risen Christ. He zoomed right on through, just as he is with us today. And by God's grace, we as a church have been able to get through this time with strength, because we have kept strong by keeping connected, both with God and with each other. And togetherness is a great strength. And we now have an average of around 300 Zoom connections every week. And I think that's quite remarkable. And I'd really like to thank the pastors and the teams and the hosts for all the work that's gone into putting this up. So that means probably around 500 or so people linking in, if you consider how many people are behind each connection. Connecting members in remote areas or those who are sick. And in that way, it's actually been a great blessing. The second part of the verse says, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And here we see a shift in their state of mind from fear to one of peace and great joy. They were overjoyed as they were assured by Christ that he had risen, he was alive. And today we have the joy of the new creation in Christ, not fear-based, but of grace and faith. And with this focus on healthy church, we desire to keep Christ in our midst, at the centre of our lives and of our worship patterns as we come into alignment with the Christian calendar. And the messages using the RCL, deepening our understanding of the seasons and their meanings, so that we may deepen our relationship with the love of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Moving to verse 21, it says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And it's amazing how much these few verses just cover so much about our church and where we're at. Focus churches today are encouraged to be a sending church, to go make disciples. And we heard at the February conference about renewal and missional living. It's not something new, but perhaps a fresh look and new opportunities now with COVID. Our president, Greg Williams, has provided frameworks and structures through the Love, Faith and Hope avenues to help us focus. The Love Avenues is having that love and genuine care for our neighbourhoods and community. people reach people and having outreach that connects people back into the life of the church. And of course, love and relationship underpins all our frameworks. I love this quote, and it's referring a little bit to what Helen said as well. Love is central to the whole picture, because love is the life of the Father, Son, and Spirit, and we are participating in the divine nature, sharing in the life and love of the triune God. And that is what we want to invite others into. We want to say, hey, you're included. We want them very much to be part of that. And verse 22 says, and with that, Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And sometimes that word receiving is so critical, because sometimes we actually are hesitant sometimes to actually receive. But we are given the Holy Spirit as a gift, and it's a wonderful gift. And in the book of Acts, it says, this promise is made to you and your children. And God demonstrates great love and concern for the generations. And our hope and prayer is that we're able to inspire the next generation or our young people now. We appreciate and promote the children's church programs. We saw this morning just the wonderful creativity and what an important part of the church that is, to be helping and training our children. We also have young, dedicated leaders and emerging leaders right in our midst, and it's great to see that we're making room for them to participate. As Greg says, high support, high challenge, and grace always. And I think the grace always is so important, isn't it? High support, grace always. In terms of our youth update, we had a wonderful SEP camp in Victoria in January of this year, with over 50 campers. And I'd like to thank the camp directors, Al and Hans, and all the wonderful volunteers that give of their time. And we had another layer of training as well for the junior staff. And planning is underway at the moment for the 2021 SEP regional camp to be held in Queensland. And of course, this is depending on the coronavirus and how things are progressing, but we'll be making further assessments. In future, we plan to alternate SEP regional camps between Queensland and Victoria, hopefully on an annual basis. And that is to encourage our young people to be connected into the life of their church. And excitingly, we had a GC Ignite event, which was held via Zoom in April. And this was prepared and hosted by very talented young leaders themselves, with around 20 participants. And watch for some more exciting news to come about connecting them internationally. We had an email from Cara Garrity, who's a youth developer in the US, and she's interested in connecting with our group here in Australia. So that's very exciting. Moving to ACCM with John McLean as our director. ACCM now reaches into 35 countries. John has 6 cohorts that he's very busy working with. There were over 100 new enrolments this year, and an ACCM e-newsletter has recently been launched. So it's great to see the expansion of ACCM, and thanks to John and Nadia Worthing as the registrar. We are GCI Australasia, and I'd like us to remember our regional director, Dennis Richards, and his wife, Sue, and their teams as they continue to develop the church in New Zealand, Fiji and Vanuatu. And not forgetting our own dear brothers and sisters in the Solomon Islands and Papua New Guinea. Unfortunately, the pastoral visits this year has to be postponed until next year because of COVID. But we do continue to keep connected with them, and they pray for us. So please pray for them as they pray for us. So far, everyone in our region has been spared from coronavirus, so we're very thankful to God for that. So back to Australia. This past year, the Melton Congolese Church, it began from a meeting in a garage, and now it's officially a meeting in a hall. I think it was August last year. The last attendance before the coronavirus was 90 people. So that's fantastic attendance. Baptisms, there have been 8 baptisms around Australia in the last 6 months. So we rejoice at that as well, especially on this day of Pentecost. And we have some exciting developments in a couple of church areas coming up soon. So watch this space. I won't preempt them, but we do have some exciting new developments coming. So that's just a few highlights for now. As you can see, much has been happening and we're very grateful for your support as we continue to move forward. We're very grateful that the member income for March and April has been generous and was on a par level compared to that of last year. This has helped greatly as we had to make changes once the impacts of coronavirus took hold. So thank you for your flexibility and adapting so readily to contributing electronically or other means and finding other ways. And I realise it was a big change for many and we really appreciate the efforts. So thank you for your generosity, especially in the midst of these difficult times. Families I know have been under stress and all sorts of pressures in various ways. But we appreciate the faithfulness to God's work as well. You'll also be pleased to know that donations towards the bushfire appeal, which was held earlier this year, raised over $11,800. That's pretty an amazing amount, isn't it? Very generous and something to celebrate on Pentecost. Fantastic spirit of giving and caring for the community in times of need. This has been distributed to the Red Cross and Salvation Army for the relief and recovery efforts. So I'm sure it'll be a big help to many people who are still in the recovery stage. And some of those people feel a little bit forgotten now because of the COVID, but we do also need to keep just remembering those who have been affected by the bushfires. And thank you for your generosity towards that donation appeal. Going to COVID-19, I know it's everywhere in the news. So we do hope to reopen churches in due course. Prayerfully, it will be a state-by-state thing based on government and local government regulations. Tasmania has already been able to open up, so we're very happy about that. And post-COVID-19, once we're able to meet together again, and won't that be a joyful time? We do plan to live stream some services for the benefit of those who are isolated or in remote areas. This is not a replacement for church, but we would like to zoom out from the life of the church to extend our love and fellowship to others remotely. So I thank our dedicated pastors and teams for their amazing efforts with this. It is obvious that they love and care for you very much. We've had many meetings about Zooms and sharing and how we can reach and connect with the members, and the pastors have really done, I think, and their teams have been fantastic in doing, getting that up and running. Oops. I think I skipped a page, sorry. So in closing, let's keep Jesus Christ as King in our lives and at the centre of our lives. We covet most of all your prayers for God's love and wisdom and guidance as we participate in the work of the Father, Son and Holy Spirit. As the Apostle Paul said, let's make the most of every opportunity and let's keep moving forward and let's be open to what COVID-19 might even open up further for us. So thank you again for your faithful commitment. You are an inspiration. And our prayers are with you for God's richest blessings to be upon you and your loved ones. God bless. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Daphne, for your message and for Helen for your message. So thank you, everyone. And we'll close the service today, though the service is not finished. We'll still have fellowship afterwards. But we'll close the service with Al Kurzawa from Morwell and Seaford, Pastor of Seaford and Morwell, giving us the benediction.
And now for the benediction. This is a Pentecost benediction written by Janet Morley. Holy Spirit, mighty wind of God, inhabit our darkness, brood over our abyss, and speak to our chaos, that we may breathe with your life and share your creation.